This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Ask for your prayers today for our daughter and son-in-law, Elizabeth and Colby, and their three kids flying from Dallas today to back to Germany. They've been in Dallas for the last 2 weeks. I don't want to say that the other set of grandparents are in competition with this, but my counterpart in Dallas took the kids to a firehouse, and they got to hold the hoses and shoot them and get in the fire truck and all. I took them to Burger King, you know. No, they did some neat things while they were here with some of you people that are here today. But I know how I'm going to top this. I've already figured it out. Next year when they come, I'm taking them to Waynesville Airport. We're going to go skydiving. There's no way that Elizabeth's father-in-law can top that. If you had told me 25 years ago, all the scandal and all the stuff that's going on with Bill Cosby, I wouldn't have believed you. Because like many people, I believed that Bill Cosby was a role model. He was kind of the nation's dad with the role he played as Dr. Huxtable, I think was his name, on the TV show in the 90s. And I'm just dumbfounded by what's happened. And I'm not going to dwell on any details. All I'm going to say is this. One of the legal issues that's come up with all the scandal connected with him is the term statute of limitations. It's too late to prosecute some of these crimes or to even just approach it because of the time. And I just want to begin by sharing this thought with you because it relates to the message about repentance today. There is no statute of limitation when it comes to sin. None. Do you know that? Do you understand that? The Lord doesn't say, well, that happened 25 years ago, what you did, and I know you never repented of it. I know you never acknowledged it to anybody. You never sought forgiveness from the people you hurt. But it's 25 years. I'm going to let it slide. That's not taught in Scripture anywhere. A group of 9 evangelical leaders was asked years ago by a national publication, Christian publication, to write 300 words about coming to Christ. 300 words. Would you believe that if my memory's right, 6 of the 9 in telling people what they needed to do to become a Christian didn't even mention the word repentance? They didn't even mention a synonym for repentance. 6 of the 9 telling people, and yet it's one of the most important words we're going to read today in a few minutes, where Jesus said, unless you and I repent, you know what he says? You'll perish. It's a nice way of saying you're dead spiritually. Unless you and I repent, we will also likewise perish. That's what Jesus said. It's not my idea. And so we're going to talk about an unpopular concept that's not talked about today. It's certainly not politically correct. And yet I would be remiss. I would be sinning if I said, I'm going to skip chapter 3 as Kevin and I are divvying up the passages in Luke and say, well, I don't want to preach about repentance. It's just not popular to talk about that. That would be a crime in my mind. We're going to read about John the Baptist, who's the way preparer for Jesus. He's preparing Jesus' ministry coming. And I think it's interesting, to prepare the way for Jesus, he calls people to repentance. Does that say anything to you or me? To prepare the way for Jesus in your life maybe means repentance on your part and my part.
Well, we'll actually begin tomorrow's message with the reading of the text from Luke 3 on the subject of repentance. I don't know if you remember the first message just 3 weeks ago from the last chapter of Luke, where Jesus said that repentance and forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name. That's the essence of the ministry of Jesus, calling people to repentance and forgiveness of sins. We'll continue tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
We're going to read about John the Baptist, who's the way preparer for Jesus. He's preparing Jesus' ministry coming. And I think it's interesting, to prepare the way for Jesus, he calls people to repentance. Does that say anything to you or me? To prepare the way for Jesus in your life maybe means repentance on your part and my part. Let's read it. It's Luke 3. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene. You say, Randy, how do you know those words are pronounced that way? I don't, and you don't either, so chill out. No big deal. Verse 2, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers." Can you imagine me getting up and say, "You bunch of snakes, you people at Crossview"? I mean, you talk about not winning friends and influencing people. He insulted his audience in a very real way. "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." In other words, do something that shows or manifests that you have repented. "And don't say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees." This is a statement about judgment. "The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered, "The man with two tunics." A tunic was a long undershirt, you know, floor length. It was a long undergarment. If you have two, you should share with the man who has none, and the one who has food should do the same. Tax collectors came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more money than you're required to," he told them. Then some Roman soldiers asked him, "What should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ or the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." So begins the ministry of John the Baptist, preparing the way for Christ. And we're going to talk about repentance in a way that some of you maybe have never heard before. Verse 2 says, "During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John." Question? This may not be true for you, and it doesn't have to be. But is there a point in your life where you can point to and say, "That was the year. That was the month. That was the day the word of God came to me"? And you say, "What do you mean by that?" Have you ever felt a sense of conviction when you heard a message? Yeah, I have. You ever felt a sense that maybe God was speaking to you through a passage? I have all the time. And so have you, if you're honest. Why is it that in every church I've served, whether it's Columbus, Texas, Atlanta, and here, everywhere I've been, it's not uncommon for somebody to walk out the door and say, "Today, when you talked about such and such a thought or a verse, I felt like one of these lights, Randy, was right on me"?
Well, I don't know if you can identify with that. I certainly can. I have felt the Word of God convict me in a specific way in my heart. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
Why is it that in every church I've served, whether it's Columbus, Texas, Atlanta, and here, everywhere I've been, it's not uncommon for somebody to walk out the door and say, "Today, when you talked about such and such a thought or a verse, I felt like one of these lights, Randy, was right on me"? I'm going to let you in on a little secret. If you feel that God is speaking to you on any given Sunday, you know what the secret is? He was. Some of you didn't hear that. If you feel that God was speaking to you on any given Sunday because of something in His Word, I've got news for you. He was, and He is. He speaks to all of us, to you and to me. The Word of God came to John. I love that. Verse 3 said he went into all the country around the Jordan River, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Just a technical detail. This was not Christian baptism. Why? Jesus hadn't died yet. Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, so it wasn't a baptism portraying, like Romans says, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, but it was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, calling people to repentance. I'm going to focus in on verse 8 that says this, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. John is saying that if you truly are repentant, not just repentant in theory, it will be produced in real life. It will be manifested in real life. And John even gives examples to tax collectors and to soldiers and to other people about here's what you need to do to show repentance. And when I do this today, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I really don't have to do this, but I think it'll happen anyway. I want you to think of some of the practical ways you could show repentance in your life today. Listen to what he says. John answered the man, verse 11, the man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same. There are things of benevolence we can do to show repentance. You actually care about other people. New concept for some people. Tax collectors came to be baptized. What do? Don't collect any more than you're required to. Don't extort money from people. Then some Roman soldiers asked, what should we do? Don't extort money as well. Don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. Question, what is the Lord revealing to your mind right now that you need to repent for? Having ministered in Columbus for 18 years, for some reason I became good friends with a local Catholic priest, St. Mary's Catholic Church, Groveport, Ohio. We would have breakfast once a month and with a group of ministers, and I got to know Tony, an Italian priest. And so I got to be bold enough with him that I asked him some questions that I really had no business asking him. But one time I said, you know, Tony, in the confessional booth, do you mind telling me what sins are confessed a lot? And he said, no, I won't tell you, with a smile. He said, but I'll tell you what's not confessed. And I thought, that's interesting. He said, Randy, I don't hear a lot of people confessing resentment, yet I know they have resentment. He said, the number one thing he said I don't hear is coveting, you know, wanting something that belongs to someone else. He said, I never hear that. He said, I don't have people confessing bitterness. I don't have people confessing pride. And yet he said, I know all of that is in people's lives. And I thought, what a lesson. You see, while we're thinking of things we need to repent for, there's a man or woman here saying, I need to repent of pride. And I need to repent of resentment. And I need to repent of bitterness. You see, there are so many sins of the Spirit that we neglect to think about and identify. And maybe the Lord is speaking to somebody right now, even as we speak.
Well, all this week, a message on repentance from the Gospel of Luke. I hope it speaks to you. It's crosshope.org.
One of the most touching stories that came out of the Iraq War were a story of two Marines. I remember reading this myself. Two Marines were in a firefight in a town or village in Iraq. One of them was wounded severely in the foot, so bad that when this Marine tried to stand on his feet, he just collapsed. He could not put any weight on a foot that had been really messed up by machine gun fire. And so finally, they had to leave. They had to get out of where they were. He said, I can't walk. And so one other Marine said, there's only one way we're going to do this. We're going to accomplish this. I'm going to have to carry you out of here. And it was very humbling for the one Marine to fall over the shoulders of the other Marine and let him carry him out of the danger zone, which he did hundreds of yards to get to safety. And the Marine who did the carrying said, it was hard for my Marine friend, because I had to do for him what he couldn't do for himself. I had to do something for him that he couldn't do for himself. I think you know where I'm going with this. All of us are in that position. We need someone to do something that we can't do for ourselves. It's called the Lord's forgiveness. You don't have what it takes, and neither do I, for the Lord to say, okay, you're good. You've made up for the sin in your life. No. It's all about grace. It's all about seeking His forgiveness. Sin isn't forgiven because of a time lapse. Sin isn't forgiven because people have forgotten about it. Sin isn't forgiven because it's gone. It just we don't talk about it anymore. Sin is forgiven when it's confessed to the Lord and repentance is shown. And the grace of God works in a person's life. When I mention the name of the author, Max Lucado, everybody thinks he must have lived a charmed life. And, you know, from childhood and teen years, he was just this great Christian role model and example. Because of all the books, he's the most prolific Christian writer there is today. I mean, I've lost count how many books he's written. But you'll be surprised when I read a story to you from his life, because I was surprised the first time I read it. My teenage acquaintances included a handful of Christians, none of whom were cool. One minister's daughter passed on beer parties and gossip. As a result, she spent most of her Friday nights alone. A tennis player came back from summer break with a Bible bumper sticker on his car and a smile on his face. We called him a Jesus freak, including me, Max said. My voice was among the mockers. It shouldn't have been, but it was. Somewhere inside, I knew better, but I didn't go there for advice. My parents took me to church. My minister told me about Christ. But did I make a big deal about God or the church? No. I had something far more important to promote, my reputation. I was an athlete, a flirt, a beer drinker, a partier. I polished and protected my reputation like a 65 Mustang. What mattered most to me was people's opinion of me. Then I went off to college and heard a professor describe a Christ I'd never seen. A people-loving and death-defeating Christ, a Jesus who made time for the lonely, the losers, a Jesus who died for hypocrites like me. So I signed up. As much as I could, I gave him my heart. One can't at once promote two reputations. This is really insightful. You can't promote two reputations. You either promote God's and forget yours, or you promote your reputation and forget God's. We must choose. We must decide. Now, why did I tell that story? Somebody might say, well, he needed Jesus. He knew all about Jesus. His parents took him to church. He said, my minister told me about Christ. What Max Lucado needed to do is what some men in this room need to do today. Repent. What some women in this room need to do. Repent. Somebody might say, well, he needed Jesus. He knew all about Jesus. His parents took him to church. He said, my minister told me about Christ. What Max Lucado needed to do is what some men in this room need to do today. Repent. What some women in this room need to do. Repent. You know what repentance means? It means to turn, literally, 180 degrees. It's an acknowledgement of your sin, and it's an acknowledgement of what sin does. It wounds the Father. Most people never think about this, but every sin that you've committed and I've committed is often or always a wound against the Father. My personal Father? No, the Heavenly Father. Every sin you've committed, every sin I've committed is a wound against the Father. And until there's repentance, there's no hope. In fact, let's bring up that verse in Luke 13:5 if we can. I tell you, Jesus said no, but unless you repent, you too will perish. That's not my idea, that's his. Unless you repent, you too will perish. When I talk about John MacArthur as a minister from Panorama City, California, I never think of John MacArthur as a storyteller. He doesn't tell stories. He's really straight teaching. It just, this verse means this, this verb means this, this noun in the Greek means that, and it's great, it's powerful. But he's a scholarly approach to preaching. But I heard John MacArthur tell a story that touched me deeply. He said he was in his office one day when he got a call from someone at a hospital called Riverside Hospital, just like there's a Riverside Hospital in Columbus where my mother was just recently. But this was Riverside Hospital in California, Southern California. And the person on the other end of the phone said, John, we've got a person here that says they have to talk to you. They're dying. Young man, he wants to talk to you. He insists on you coming to the hospital. So John got in the car and went over there. Had no idea who he was. The man told him a sordid story of his past, but he also said, hey, John, I know what I need to do, in a way. I was raised in the church. I went to Bible college for 2 years. But I've really lived a life of sin, and I'm about to die. And I need you to talk to me. And you know what John did? John said, I didn't, you know, say, well, just hope in Jesus, and everything's going to be fine. Just put your trust in Christ, and everything's fine. Here's what he did. He said, you need to repent. You need to repent of what's going on in your life. And you need to repent of the sin in your life. And you know what? That's a word for you. It's a word for me. He didn't do it judgmentally. He didn't do it in an attitude of holier than thou and I'm so great and so perfect. No, he just shared Luke 13:5, unless you repent, you too will perish. He said the man lasted a week. He died a week later. But John said in his subsequent visits, he said he noticed there was peace. You know why? He repented. You'll never have peace in your life until you repent of the sin, the wounds that you've caused in other people's lives. You'll never have peace in your life until ultimately you say, every sin I've committed is a wound against the Father. It's called repentance, with a capital R. You need it. I need it. Don't ever forget that. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for speaking to us on this subject that's not talked about today. It's shunned even by preachers today. Nobody mentions repentance. It's not politically correct. Not what people want to hear. People want to know how to be happy, how to be successful. We need to repent. I do, and so does every man and woman in this room, for the sin in our life. Bless this invitation time, this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, I don't even know if the word repentance is in your vocabulary. Some people don't even know what the word means. It means to turn around 180 degrees away from something and to something. Our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.